Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Ottawa, Canada. Welcome to the show, Neil Chatta.
Thank you, Victor.
Well, Neil, great to have you here. Now, you've been on the show before. You're a practicing physician, as well as a part-time developer of senior care, of assisted living. And so I'm very excited to have this conversation because the last time you were on the show, we were still in full-on pandemic. A lot has changed in healthcare over the last little bit. But before we do, maybe give a little bit of your backstory for the folks who haven't met you and how you got to this point in your journey.
Sure. So I still am a physician, as you mentioned, and I always had a passion for business and real estate. And early on in my medical career, I worked at about 10 different retirement homes and really saw an opportunity to improve the standard of service and care that I was seeing. I embarked on a journey to develop a retirement home with assisted living as well as memory care in 2017, built it successfully, filled it up and operated it, and then basically doubled down and put a second building up in Perth, a senior luxury retirement apartment building. So that's me in a nutshell.
If we look at so many of the disruptions that occurred, not just at people's lives, but also to the entire healthcare system during the pandemic, that certainly affected senior care, it affected assisted living. How would you describe the state of the market today? Because, you know, there's a when you think about a service offering, it's not just a piece of real estate. What's changed from the pandemic days to today?
Yeah, great question, Victor. So I'd like to divide it up into sort of pre-pandemic, pandemic, and post-pandemic. Pre-pandemic, we didn't realize how good we had it. And we can put it that way in terms of not only staffing, but regulation, and maybe there wasn't as much stigma as well moving into senior homes, although there was some. But in the pandemic, there was a lot more regulation, a lot more trouble with staffing, and definitely more of a stigma moving into senior care because of various outbreaks in homes. We are now in a post-pandemic phase, and the regulation is definitely more than it was pre-pandemic. The stigma isn't as bad, I would say, but staffing challenges definitely remain because there's just such a need for healthcare in the country and not enough workers to fulfill the need.
A lot of folks that went into that business with a genuine desire in their heart to help got burnt out during the pandemic. And yet, beneath the surface, that desire to help, I think, is still there. I have a belief, and you tell me from your perspective as a frontline operator if you agree, that many of those folks can, in fact, be re-engaged in an environment that really serves the needs of the clients, but also serves the needs of the employee. So they're not pulling the crazy shift work in the emergency department with that chaotic environment. It's a much more balanced lifestyle working in an AL facility than maybe some of the other alternatives. What is that, just my wishful thinking, or is that a realistic scenario?
We are seeing that in our home, to be honest with you, Victor. We do see nurses that have been in the hospitals and the emergency departments that simply are done with shift work and the chaos that might come with the territory in hospitals and emergency departments, and feel like their purpose is being fulfilled in the second career of their lives by giving back and serving our seniors. So we do see that. I'd like to see more of it, but we definitely see some of it.
When I think about senior housing, it's a full-on service offering. It's not just a piece of real estate. What are some of the things that you are designing into your product specifically that you think are differentiated in the market?
We definitely focus on healthcare, me being a physician and the doctor of our home. We also try to emphasize the active lifestyle for seniors. So as I mentioned, we recently built a luxury apartment building, and basically we have an indoor link from the first phase to the second, and in the middle of the two buildings is a state-of-the-art clubhouse with a yoga studio, swimming pool, putting green, pickleball courts, a nice demo kitchen and a party room, and a gym. So we're really trying to emphasize the active lifestyle part for our residents.
Now, as you and I have talked about many times, the demographic for folks transitioning from independent living into assisted living is not quite there yet if you think about the baby boomer demographic, because at the end of the day, the oldest baby boomers, born in 1945, they're not at the average age yet to be in assisted living. There's still another 7-8 years to go. So in that respect, when we think about all of the product that's been built in the marketplace, a lot of the primary markets all over North America are, in fact, oversupplied, waiting for their customers to show up. Where do you see the opportunity?
I think the opportunity lies within meeting seniors, namely the baby boomers, where they're at. And what I mean by that is the current demographic of our baby boomers, their current needs and wants are definitely luxury, a little bit more space, a bit more of the lifestyle amenities that I mentioned, perhaps some underground parking, as opposed to the three meals a day with the weekly housekeeping and linen service and the care. I think there are certainly seniors that would like that and need that, but if we're talking about baby boomers in particular, we really need to meet them where they're at right now, and it's not retirement living at the present time.
When we think about the transition of various stages in life, we think about those six basic human functions. You know, can you feed yourself? Can you clothe yourself? Can you take your meds? Can you bathe yourself? All of those sorts of criteria that determine what is the most suitable form of accommodation for you at that particular point in time. How have you designed your service offering to address those needs through that continuum?
When we first planned out our site in Perth, we made sure to have a medical center as well as an independent facility as well as the retirement home. So we really wanted a place or a community where a senior could move in at their own volition and not be forced to move out ever. And to be honest, on future sites, I've even added a third building, which allows any adult to move in and then again graduate from very independent apartment style living into more of a senior apartment and then into a retirement home.
You mentioned at the outset that there's been a lot of regulation change, perhaps precipitated by the pandemic. How has that impacted you as an operator, and has it impacted the design of future facilities?
It's added a lot more admin work for my team, and we get emails regularly from the regulatory authorities having to change policy. It's allowed us to be a bit more fluid and adaptable, which I think has increased our resilience. But in terms of designing future buildings, it hasn't gotten to the point where I've had to really change anything in my design till now.
One of the things that we looked at in our facilities that we've designed is the air handling. So, for example, designing the airflow so that the air return happens in a very specific way. There's positive air pressure from the hallways into the living spaces, and that's where your air pressure comes from. Things like that that would reduce the risk of cross-contamination between patients. Is that anything that you've looked at, or is that even a consideration?
No, that's a really good point. And we are looking at air handling and the best way to manage that in future buildings. And that's part of our energy efficiency as well, which we're trying to improve in future buildings.
So I know you have a couple of other sites that you're looking at that you're looking to develop. The entitlement process in many communities can be lengthy, it can be bureaucratic, and yet in many of those communities, the need is there for sure, especially in secondary and tertiary markets. Have you seen any improvement in that entitlement process, any appetite to get things done quicker, or is it still same as it was before?
I think it depends on where you are trying to develop In one of the communities I'm in, it's been very painful. In the other, it's been pretty good. And in Perth, it was absolutely amazing. So I think, to be quite honest with you, whatever the preceding attitude was towards development has endured post-pandemic.
Now, as someone who is currently developing, when you get to design your own product right from the ground up, the facility, hire the staff, hire the right talent, you get to design it and you're not inheriting anybody else's problems. Have you considered looking at existing facilities and implementing a turnaround? Because there are a lot of poorly run facilities out there that are just waiting for the right operator to come in and fix them. Has that been a consideration at all?
Perhaps in the future. Right now, I've got the existing buildings that I'm actively managing, as well as a couple of other sites trying to get into the ground on. But one thing I'll say is it's really hard to change a culture of a community or a company. So I do tend to try and just create that culture from day one. But I'm sure in the future, there will be some opportunities that I may look at.
Fascinating. So let's unpack that a little bit more. When you talk about culture, what is it that you're looking to instill in the culture that differentiates the entire operation from what might be an otherwise run-of-the-mill or, in the worst case, even a toxic culture?
Well, first and foremost is we answer to our residents. We care about our seniors deeply. And from that, all decisions are made from that mission and vision. And then we dig a little bit deeper with our own employees and find out what makes them tick and how we can make their experience in the company as good as possible. We have a really good feeling of a family in our organization. We all help each other out. We all realize that things happen in life, but the support that every team member gives to each other is really important.
I'm going to share with you a kind of a shocking statistic. This is more of a U.S. statistic rather than a Canadian one. But in the U.S. today, the average daily spend on food for a resident is about $6.50, which in my mind is a shockingly low number. I know in our facilities, we're close to three times that number. How do you balance the need to drive bottom line profitability that a lot of, especially the larger players, are focused on, with delivering a quality service? And, you know, food costs is just one of them. There's others as well. What are you doing differently?
So my business partner was pretty key on teaching me early on that service and food, especially food, cannot be compromised on. And that's what we call the top line, is the experience that residents have. And then the bottom line will follow. And that stuck with me. And I really don't look very closely at how much my team is spending on food and the experience aspect of our residents' lives. And to be honest, once the product is really proven itself, people want to come and experience it. And like we say, then the bottom line will fall into place because we end up being quite full.
Love it. Well, Neil, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
Could send me an email. It's neel@lanark, that's LANARK, lifestyles with an S, .ca.
Fabulous. Well, Neil, love what you're doing, and we'll continue to watch your journey, and we'll definitely keep in touch. And for the listeners at home, definitely reach out to Dr. Neil Chadha at neel@lanarklifestyles.ca. Link will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen, and we'll talk again tomorrow.